It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
To me, Ernest Hancock, because, because we started earlier. You know, a lot of places around the country, they get themselves in trouble by doing a lot of stuff that we take for granted, you know, and we get away with it because we know law enforcement, we know a lot of the politicians we run against, and we do them. We're going, look, man, you know, we can do it the peaceful way. We can just, you know, advocate for free in minds, and we can, you know, put up our billboards, and we do big 14x48 billboards, you know, of different things, and we have some fun, you know. But if you guys want to play hardball, you want to get, man, I don't know, libertarians are adamant. So they pretty much left us alone. As long as we show some, you know, not go doinking cops in the chest or something and saying a lot of the actors, they do stupid stuff. I don't advocate that. I'm just like, you know, if you don't have a sign that says speed trap, you know, behind me, pretty much expect that somebody's going to come talk to you. All right. And then when they talk to you, they're going to want your ID. And then you got to make a decision. Are you going to show them your ID? And then what if you say no? They're going to arrest you. Now, what are they going to arrest you on? Are you going to resist? Are you going to wind up dead? You say no to government enough, you wind up dead. That's just how it works. Really? You don't think so? You got a parking ticket. Well, I'm not going to pay it. Oh, then they got a warrant out for you eventually. You know, after you go through all these stages of stuff, they're going to confiscate. No, I'm not going to let you. No, I'm not going to go in. No, I'm not going to let you come to my house and take me out. No. You say no enough, and all of a sudden guns get drawn and people die. So you got to make a decision as you walk this stuff through. But we have always challenged them, been peaceful, allowed them to do their thing, and then we go whole hog on them. Criminal defense attorneys, a lot of PR, a lot of signs, a lot of people involved, a lot of press, a lot of politicians, a lot of running for office. We get this thing taken care of out in the open, and everybody understands what government really is, and then they just go, you know, it's not working out for us, so we just wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. So I go, all right, that's what I'm talking about. So you go doing this in other places. You just have to understand there's a lot of groundwork needs to be done first. What kind of groundwork has been going on in Chicago? The only groundwork has been going there is people in the ground.
Well, we've had some interesting handouts, DVD handouts. I've had people come up to me, spit in my wife's face, break our cameras. You know, I've had to go to court and testify against people because they've, you know, destroyed our stuff. And, well, hey, go ahead. Just destroy my camera, please, because you know what? You know, there are cops all over. When that guy destroyed my camera, I went ahead and I screamed through the concrete canyon on Michigan Avenue and said, call the police. And within 3 seconds, the cops were right there. And I said, look, this guy busted my camera. He spit in my wife's face. He was in the backseat of a squad car. And what happened? He had to pay $500 for a new camera. Well, hey. Thank you. Now I just upgrade, you know what I'm saying? And I've got a new camera, and I'm back in business. So bring it on.
This is, you know, what you have to put up. And what kind of response does your wife have to this kind of stuff? I mean, some people get freaked out. I mean, a lot of people, they come up against a man. They go, I had no idea it was going to be. I thought that they would respect mine. I was going to. And they go, oh, I'm sorry. We didn't know you wanted to exercise your rights. All you had to do is tell us, and we'll never do it. And they think that just by going out and doing this, all of a sudden they're going to get what they want and not understand there's going to be a pushback by the man with unlimited resources.
Well, you know, my wife is very, very supportive, and I couldn't do anything that I do now without her. You know, while I was getting started in the Lone Lantern Society, forming that organization before I was working with Russo, you know, I made a conscious decision that I needed to call what was then my hobby, I needed to change my mindset and call it my work. Now, I wasn't making any money doing it. I had no sponsorships. I didn't have any advertisers. I didn't have any DVDs or movies or magazines or anything to sell. No way to support the effort. But my wife, you know, she believed in what I was doing. I had lost my job. I was working security. I was, you know, guarding a huge tobacco factory where they're, you know, making cancerous products that, you know, people use to chew tobacco, skull, you know, all that stuff. And I said, honey, you know, this is what I have to do. And she believed in me, and she worked and, you know, and allowed me to grow what I needed to do. We finally got our first sponsors, and I started making some extra money on the side and started helping supplement the bills. But it wasn't going to work. And, you know, we had people that came out of nowhere that let us live in their house for 7 months while we started Restore the Republic, while we started the Republic magazine, and while we continued doing the radio broadcast. And, you know, from there, it just continued to grow and grow and grow and steamroll. And now, you know, we are a force, and we are waking up hundreds of thousands of people every single month.
No, it's good that you're out there. And that's one thing that a lot of people really need to understand. They always say, you know, behind every great man is a great woman.
No. And my wife is wonderful, and I give her everything.
It's more than that. You know, every man is out in front of a great woman getting him to do it. You know, or at least supporting him. And you know, the one thing, think of it this way. I've been married to my wife almost, next month it'll be 26 years, okay?
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And it was, you know, a lot of work on her part. So we have, you know, we have four children grown, starting to have grandkids and everything. Our life really doesn't suck. And we feel relatively free. But it's a mindset. I mean, I could get all nutted up about all the things I can't do. But, you know, I kind of focus on the positive. But imagine this. If you did 5 days a week, 5 hours a day on the radio going on about all the stuff that's going on and the things that you're doing. I mean, you know, I could put a mental strain on you.
Yeah, it definitely can.
But who counters that? Who balances that out? Who does that? It's the wife. And she takes a lot of heat, too. I mean, she's got to put up a lot of stuff. So I try and keep – my wife does a lot of work. I know yours does, too. And if it wasn't for them to take care of the other – you know, the home stuff and the bill stuff. And I need you to mail this. And I need you to put this package. And this guy – because you got to make decisions on the fly. I had a restaurant, man. I got to make 10 decisions a day. I go, I had to make 10 decisions a minute. I mean, you know, it's constant battle.
My wife is at home right now, and she's boxing magazines for the Sponsor Patriot program. I just checked my Facebook page, and someone said, hey, I got my magazines, you know, and they're all excited. And, you know, this is the beginning of the next initiative to wake up 600,000 people. My wife is right at the center of it.
And, you know, the one thing I want to make sure a lot of people understand what's really, really important to us is that they understand that we're doing this for them and our kids and our future and our relationship. And, you know, they still are the ultimate priority. It's just that because they are, we're motivated to do this kind of stuff. You know, a lot of times they think you're doing it for the what? You know, the glory, the attention, whatever it is. And I'm going, I don't know, man. It sure as heck didn't start out that way. You know, you kind of get a lot of attention for you doing it. Because there was a reporter that said this, Gary. It was really good. He goes, it's a long story what we were doing. But we had a newspaper box in front of a federal building that had Fiji material in it. And they were trying to get us to remove the box. And we're like, nope, not going to happen. You know, because after Oklahoma City bombing, they said, oh, they could be a potential threat and put bombs. And they had all the other ones, you know, move their boxes to the cross street. And we refused to do it. And our reason was, we said, if you strip the expression of the First Amendment in front of a federal building, you only leave the Second Amendment. So out of protection for the people that work there, because we love you, we refuse to comply and strip the expression of the First Amendment in front of that federal building. And they're like,
you took the air right out of their breath.
And as we're doing this, one reporter, he goes like this. He says, Ernie, he goes, you know, the reason you keep getting noticed because you're always standing up for what you believe in while everyone else is on their knees.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only reason you get noticed is because you're standing up. Everybody else, you know, but that's changing. And it's certainly another the next generation. And I think the older Americans should feel uncomfortable.
Well, it's happening without question exponentially. Is, you know, I can just tell through website traffic, through membership growth, people are definitely upset and they're looking for answers. They're joining groups, they're taking action, they're standing up. You know, when I close my show, the Reality Report, and when I close my radio show when I was doing that, I always say, you know, I am not here to make you a follower. I'm here to make you a leader. And that's what we need. You know, I don't want people just blindly following me around. I want people that are going to go up and take the initiative and take the ball and run the touchdown.
Yeah, no, and that's what makes us more influential is not us doing it everything all the time. I only do so much. Anyway, right now, as we're talking during the break, we're going out there. I'm sending artwork right now for these guys that are making a bunch of signs out here. We're sitting here watching them do it. You know, this is, and they're inspired by just being able to do it. So we're like, rock and roll, and we're very lucky here, and we know it, and we have associated with a lot of good people like Gary Franchi. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Love ain't the same on the south side of town. You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. That's the same old story, same old story, same old song and dance.
Yeah, it's the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old, same old, same old. Gary Franchi and I, we've been through this before. When did you start, man?
Start what?
Getting awake and finding and caring and doing.
I was about 17 years old. I'm 33 now. I read a book called Final Warning by an author named Grant Jeffrey. And it woke me up to the Council on Foreign Relations, woke me up to microchip implants, barcodes, you know, the whole New World Order infrastructure, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, once I became awake and I started running around, you know, like a reckless youth, telling everybody that the world was coming to an end and that they're going to lock everybody up and chip everybody, that's when the hardcore mind-altering drugs that came from prescription doctors were inserted into my mouth every day for about 12 years. So I was heavily medicated for about 12 years, and then I was doing some more research. I knew the stuff was still embedded in me, you know, the message inside me, and it was burning like a match, you know. And then I decided to find some information online. I'm looking at a peer-to-peer network for microchip implants and came across some videos by Alex Jones. And I realized at that point that the information I knew was not false and that there were other people like me with the same kind of passion as I had. And I wasn't crazy.
You weren't crazy. You know, that's, you know, the one thing.
They said I was crazy. The doctors were like, no, there's no such thing as the New World Order. The council, no, nothing. Don't look, don't look behind the curtain. That's what
so
it was
why,
all about.
How was it that you were, you know, was it your parents took you somewhere to get cured or what?
No, it was more like, you know, I didn't know any better, so I just, you know, self, you know, I didn't know what to do. So I went and agreed. You know, I subjected myself and allowed, and I signed the papers, and I admitted, you know.
Admitted what? To who?
Admitted myself to the doctors and said, I am sick.
Why?
Cure me of my insanity.
I mean, you actually thought something was wrong with you because you were thinking.
Well, everybody else was convincing me that there was something wrong with me. No, nothing to see here. You're something, you know, you need some medication.
You know, I've known some other guys that have had the similar thing. You know, one of the young men here, Andrew Stremick, him and his wife, Gwen, you know, I don't think he had to go through a bunch of medication or that kind of stuff, but he's a young man, and he came across, he's like, whoa, and his family and so on, like, hey, man, we don't want to hear about it anymore. You're kind of crazy, you know, we don't want to, and then all of a sudden, the internet comes around, you start finding out you're not the only one. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of, all right, you know, it's not that I'm wrong. It's just that these people aren't ready to be unplugged yet.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
So you plant the seed, you give them a DVD every now and then. That's why the DVDs are so powerful, is because this is what I found out. And I share this with the audience a lot. So this is for you, Gary. I go like this. I say, you know, I'm not here to try to convince you. you know, to agree with me or anything. I just do my best to convince you why I, or help you understand why I'm so convinced. Not change your mind, just why my mind got changed.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it that way, what happens is you don't get them starting to put sandbags around their bunker. You know, they're not digging their trench hole deeper. They're not, you know, digging themselves in deeper so that they can't get out later. So if you just do, hey, it's just why I'm convinced, then you supply them a DVD every now and then. You throw them some information, just a little bit, whatever. They get on your webpage. They read Freedom's Phoenix, you know, or go to your website, watch your reality report and stuff. And as time goes on, they'll come back. It's like, you know, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years later, and they're like, hey, did you know about, you know, that's kind of, you know, like it was their idea. You
exactly.
Know?
I'll never forget the moment that one of my friends came up to me and said, you know, after they'd seen the microchip on Fox News, and Sean Hannity was talking about it with the director of Verichip, and my friend came over, he said, Gary, you were right. All those microchips you were talking about 10 years ago, here they are.
You know, and
all of a sudden, validation, and everything that comes out of my mouth now, they're hanging on. They want to know what's next.
You know what happened? I tell you, one other guy that was the Southwest coordinator for Ron Paul's campaign, Jeff Greenspan. Now, you may have heard that name.
Yeah, he was on our show.
Yeah. Jeff, he came at this as an IT guy working for the state of Pennsylvania. He was creating the infrastructure for them to be able to do this national database transfer, state information, federal kind of thing in the mid-90s.
Wonderful.
That's how he came across this. Oh, Drew's got a sign. We'll work for freedom.
Love
coolness.
It.
What are you going to do with it? Where are you going to put it?
Oh, that's for our, we're going to record a sponsor of Patriot promo today.
Oh.
Yeah. For just $1, you too can support a Patriot.
Oh, see, you got the guys here working for you already. See how you are? Right on, man. You man. So then he came across this information, and he goes, this kind of dovetails into some stuff that I'd heard when I was in Utah, and all my crazy friends are talking, and I knew. And he's going, yeah, I think I'm working for the man. I think I'm doing it. Whoa, what the heck? So you start researching and looking at stuff, and that's what got him on this, man. He's still, you know, in the computer, IT, raising a family thing, but he's like definitely knows what's what.
Well, it reminds me of, you know, like Mark Lerner, too. He has a similar story. He worked inside the biometrics industry and realized what he was taking part of and decided to blow the whistle on the whole thing. And now, you know, he's one of the leading authorities on real ID and national databases in the country.
Well, they're not hiding it anymore.
No, they're very arrogant now.
Yeah, now they're like, well, of course. You know,
yeah.
you chip your dog. Don't you want to chip your kids?
Oh, and by the way, yeah, we are eavesdropping on you. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we do have, you know, cameras in every corner.
But if you got nothing to hide.
Yeah.
You know, I got something to hide. Let me tell you what I got to hide. My total disdain for the state. Well, maybe I don't have to hide it. But, you know, maybe maybe I want to hide it, you know. And maybe some people need to hide it or should hide it. Or maybe they don't want to share it right away. Or they, you know, want to do it a different way. Whatever.
I mean, what's to hide, though? I mean, because you have a feeling, an emotion, because you disagree? I mean, I don't think anyone should be ashamed to hide it. You know, some people are like, well, I don't want to share my opinion. And, you know, I love my brother. I love him to death. I got a big family. I'm the oldest of five boys, and I was telling the guys last night here that he never really wants to take a side. You know, he's always on the fence. And I tell him, I say, you know, one day that fence is just going to go, you know, right up, you know, up where the sun don't shine because you're sitting on it all day. You know, and you got to pick a side. You cannot just be afraid.
Well, they're going to take away the fence. Yeah, you're going to be left there without a fence. You're in everybody's sights. You know, you're in a crossfire.
Mm-hmm.
So Gary and I understand each other. We just have different experiences, different things, because you have to have this division of labor because you're not in the same. You know, that's one mistake that I always see. Well, if everybody just spent 5 minutes doing whatever I wanted them to, if everybody just spent $5 on what I wanted them to, if everybody just gave me or did or whatever, or did this one idea or had this one thing, and that's where a lot of these ideas go awry because, you know, especially. You're coming from Chicago, spending just a little bit of time, and the more of a freedom-oriented, it's more open here, there's more open space, there's more, you know, places to park. I mean, there's more.
Well, you know, it is interesting, though, what I have noticed on the highways alone here, because in Chicago, you know, I speed everywhere I go. You know, I've got a heavy foot. And the highways are very congested, the three lanes, you know, in and out of the city. And people are flying 80, 90 miles an hour. I mean, that's a given. And they're going, and speed limit's 55, 65. out here, I'm seeing everyone very passive, very driving, very, like, I don't know, they're all fluoridated or something.
Polite.
Yeah, they're very polite. In Chicago, it's like, I'm going to cut you off. I don't care.
You know, one thing I notice different when I go to Chicago or New York or any large city, except you know, it's different from Phoenix. I know Phoenix is kind of unique in this way. If you're at a light in New York or Chicago and it turns green, what immediately happens? And if you're not moving before it turns green, the horns hit. Here, if you're doing your texting or you're paying or reading the radio or something, everything, you know, heck, it could turn yellow again before anybody even says anything. I mean, it's just the way they are. You know, maybe a nice little polite little tap, you know, after 4 or 5 seconds. But it's almost never happens here. I think it might be because they're afraid you might have a gun. But the thing, you know, here, armed society is polite society. Here in Arizona, they just don't, they're just not rude. They come here for that, and we're trying to keep it maintained that way. Well, we'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
My name's Jack Harris. Dig. The year was 1995. There was a VCR in every home. Music was still bought in record stores. And the world was buzzing about a brand new invention called the Internet.
Was it?
Which up until then, sucked. What most people don't know is it was impossible to buy anything online. Until these two idiots came along.
What good is the internet for if it's not entertaining? We take some pictures, we scan them, we upload them, and we make a little money. What are you doing?
Do not interrupt me for the next 15 minutes.
And that's where I come in.
We can take a credit card from anywhere in the world and deliver a product anywhere in the world.
We can make a profit on every transaction. We're just the middlemen.
That's limitless.
In less than a month, we were making $200,000 a day.
What kind of business is it?
No, I'm just entertainment.
There's the hottest Navy starlet in the biz. Here you are. You're the 23-year-old porn star.
The thing is, when you fix one problem,
things seem to be going very well.
There's always more.
We owe a considerable amount of money.
Yeah, now this is the trailer for Middlemen. You know, it's a new movie that's coming out, and I just got it sent to me. We'll put it up as a link on Freedom's Phoenix and all that kind of stuff, and I'm sure we'll go see it, and yada, 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 yada. And the bottom line is this. Until you had the ability to take someone's credit card and transfer money using the internet, the internet was, you know, it was just going to plug along at 2400 baud modem, you know, forever. You want to know what the future of the internet is, there's two things you check. It is the ability to transfer data. And the most data that's transferred on the internet comes in two forms, pornography and video games. The computers that you have, most of it in the hardware is video games. They want it faster, quicker, better, doneer. You have these young guys, these kids, man, I want my processor bigger than your processor. Well, we used to talk about cubic inches and horsepower and tires and differentials and all that kind of stuff and our transmission, daylight, whatever. They're talking about
nice RAM and gigahertz.
That's what's going on. And the porn industry is like, when you wanted to see the big battle that was going on between high definition DVD, HD DVDs, and you had Blu-ray, they sat on the side waiting. The pornography industry was like, hey, man, we're not taking sides, okay? We'll wait and see. And they were waiting to see which one they would pick. Are they going to go HD DVD or are they going to go Blu-ray? Are they going to go with the Xbox or are they going to go with the Blu-ray, whatever, whoever the heck it was that made it? So they're sitting there looking at this because they had this problem before. It was called Beta and VHS.
I remember.
Sony had Beta. It was better, higher quality. A lot of the commercial industry used it and so on, but they were so proprietary. Nobody could license. Nobody could use it. We're the only ones that have it. So finally they went to VHS and they said, screw you. We'll just go over here. What's not as good? Yeah, so freaking what, man? It's cheaper. We got more people that can do it. That can, Sony always makes that mistake. But anyway, so what happened was now they're going to Blu-ray or HD, and they were like, we need to just, we'll just wait this one out. Well, it looks like Blu-ray won, but it's old technology already. They're going to 3D. 3D players. You can't play these 3D movies on your 3D TV without a 3D Blu-ray, whatever the heck it is. So, man, you get, it's time to, you know, use your new doorstop called your Blu-ray player, you know, for the door, and now you're going to be getting 3D. Then it's going to go, now they have the ability to put terabytes on one disc. Now we have 4.7 gig on a DVD. Blu-ray is about 25 to 30 gig, okay? They are now have discs. In 2004, they came up with this. In 2006, we reported it on Freedom's Phoenix, 100 terabytes on one flop, on one disc.
My goodness.
They're doing this, and they're using holographic lasers and so on. Pretty soon, it's going to come out. What that means is, on a couple of discs, you could have every movie ever made. It's like Superman.
Vader.
Yeah, it's like Superman's green crystal, okay? You know, all the information of all the whatever the heck he was from Krypton or something. This is going to, this is the internet, the power, what this movie is about, Middleman, is about when you had a guy that could do credit card transactions on the internet, and then they were taken as like Girls Gone Wild or whatever, or porn or something, it doesn't matter. The thing is that, you know, I want to buy, you know, get my little brown package come in with all my, you know, Uber porn or something, or video game or whatever it is, but you can buy and sell using transactions of money on the internet. When that happened, it exploded. It was commercialization of the internet, and it went so fast, and there was so much money being made that it was a race of every scumbag that had a gun or a law to come and get their cut. And what they decided, because they had so much money in it, they were able to buy off Congress long enough to let the internet flourish. If you do it now, you will kill it. You'll strangle the golden goose before it's even laid its first dozen eggs. Okay? Let it go. Well, then that moratorium on taxation and everything, you know, kind of started to go, extended a little bit. They're kind of just, it's freedom is always more productive, but you got to tolerate all the crap that's out there. Because the good is in with the bad. Now, of course, they'll highlight the bad, and we got to worry about the children, and it's always the children and the little children, all right? But freedom is the answer. What's the question? This is why. I can see it. And this movie is going to be a good lesson for people. Now, hardware and software, even before this, it was called The Pirates of Silicon Valley, which was about Apple and Bill Gates back in the day. That was a very interesting movie. You should watch that.
Great film.
So this is I can see, and this is all of a sudden now, we're years later, 94, right when this was going on, we started getting our first emails. I saw what was coming. In 96, we already developed Freedom's Phoenix in our heads. We were just waiting for broadband internet to be able to do video. When that happened, boom, then we jumped on it. If you know what you're looking for, how do you empower individuals to be against the man? And how do you get off the grid? Communication. Transportation, energy, and then, you know, food and shelter and materials and all this other stuff. But I tell you, you want to get the top three? Transportation, communication, energy. And let me tell you where the big next one's going to be. It's going to be energy. It's going to be when you can start to produce, and they got so much new science. You go to freedomsphoenix.com, and you go on the top navigation bar, and it'll say archives. You get a drop down under archives. It'll say contents by subject, go to energy. Go to E, energy. You look up the energy content on Freedom's Phoenix, you will be shocked at how much new stuff is coming or already here. As much as you are shocked when I tell people that hadn't heard from me telling them that there's two private space stations in orbit right now and you didn't know it. That's what's going. So what's your future plans with the internet, Gary? I mean, you got to have some plans.
Total domination.
Of what? I don't play domination.
No, I want, for me, I just want to make sure that my message is heard, that our shows are seen, and that, you know, we just continue to increase our production quality. I mean, I'm always competing against myself. I always want to, you know, top the last thing that I did and make it better. So I'm very critical of my work, and, you know, I'm always polishing it. And, I mean, if you guys look at, so if you, you know, want to have a laugh, go and watch the very first Reality Report. you know, in the really poorly lit studio, bad audio, you know. I mean, that, the production quality was what we had and what we'd known. And now we are learning, we're compounding our knowledge, and, you know, look what we have today. I mean, we have a crew that works and, you know, and cuts things together, and, you know, we're doing live broadcasts, and, you know, what I want from the internet, I just want it to be I don't want roadblocks on it. I don't want censorship on it.
I want it on.
Yeah, I want it on. Don't shut it off. Don't give me a internet driver's license so I can go and log into my own website and, you know, give you my social security number and then a thumbprint and then a retinal scan so you guys know that I'm really me.
Why? I mean, think about that. You're going, well, you got to have a driver's license, drive a car. You know?
Yeah, but you can't, you know, I don't think you can kill somebody with the internet. Can you?
I'm sure they have plenty of examples.
I'm going to drive this internet right through your heart.
Yeah,
Ernie.
Whatever. They got that one girl to commit suicide because they made fun of her.
Oh, right. That was, okay.
Hey, man, whatever it takes. You know, out of 6 billion people, you're going to find some example of something.
It's for the children.
You know, that's one thing in the space. We did this thing called Afterburner. We played it for the audience this week, and it was talking about space. And he was saying, you know, we are so risk averse now that we never develop anything. It's always using risk as, oh, you might. Somebody might. You're going to get might. You got some poster child for this person. You know, this person used a fork and poked his eye out. I mean, you know, it's just, it's so crazy now that there's no innovation. And the reason is because it doesn't serve the man. The more you get autonomous from the grid, the bigger of a threat you are.
Yeah, and you know, and I wouldn't be doing what I do now if I didn't decide to take a chance, you know?
Take a chance, you know, on me.
I mean, my own family looks at me and they're like, I don't know how you do it. You know, everyone else is working these, you know, corporate jobs, and here you are making videos and talking about politics, and you're successful.
You know, it surprises me sometimes too that we are able to even survive. But you know, and a lot of times we live very modestly. I mean, you know, we have a nice little home, but it's little. You know, we got our crammed in our backyards. We got. Chick, 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 kids! We'll talk about that when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Undeclare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Gary Franchi. We are fighting for some, I don't know, understanding at the very least, you know, and that kind of equates in the freedom. And the one thing that I really wanted to make sure that we delved into a little bit is the future of the internet. You know, there, and it's not just the internet, it's just one mechanism. You know, it could be, you know, just we know the truth, or at least want to find it, about a lot of things. Some things that would never have gotten out. Like I remember when we had Waco. You know, Waco, until the rules of engagement, that video was done. We didn't get, and there was a Hardy, Dave Hardy, who's an attorney in Tucson here. He was an attorney for the State Libertarian Party. He's the one that did the Freedom of Information Act that got all those films and everything released. And that was a year's battle, and then it became a movie. Then we had Oklahoma City. You know, we had a lot of presentations done by a lot of people on that. And you know what really happened there? Well, that had its own problems. Then came 9/11. 9/11 was different. And there was one reason, because the internet existed. That changed everything. I don't think the government can get away, well
plus the existence of so many video cameras in the hands of people.
Right, and that's my point. I want to say the government, those, that won't leave us alone. And I'm sure they got big, giant influence in the government. I can tell you that right now. I'm willing to, you know, raise my hand on that one. But the main thing is that it's much more difficult now when every human set of eyes also has a recording device called an iPod or something, you know, or an iPhone, and it has changed everything. You know, what kind of material do you get from people for your shows and everything? You just send it, hey, Gary, look what I got.
Well, we get emails from viewers from all over the country, all over the world, really, Australia, Sweden, Japan, you know, of course, the United States. Of course, we also have, you know, different filters on search engines that deliver us information without even us having to look for it. You know, just the information comes to us. And, you know, you mentioned the phone thing. I was at a concert. Someone had comped us some tickets, and we went to it was a VIP suite, right? And, you know, they had all the food and all the drink you could have, and we're sitting up there, and we're looking down at the people in the audience. And I could just see, because I'm looking and from the back, I could see all these little blue lights just peppered throughout the entire audience. People were recording the show. You know, like there must have been, you know, several hundred of these things. Everybody.
They don't even try to stop them
anymore. And there are big signs. No recording devices allowed. And like, everyone's got one.
Yeah, you got to arrest everybody. You know, there's this video, Minuteman, you know, this last scene, we finished watching it, Gary and I, here. I'm going to play just the last 15 seconds of it. And it's Kelsey Grammer, you know, the guy that played Frasier, okay, is a state legislator. Yeah, the other guy, I don't know, he's a well-known actor. I can't remember his name, but he's coming in and he's wanting to regulate the internet and tell them what they can and can't do and all this kind of stuff, and this is what happens.
You peddle pornography over the internet.
Well, Senator, this is your billing record. NaughtySecretary.com?
You realize you just attempted to blackmail a publicly elected state official. And it worked. Can I count on your vote next year?
You got it.
That's exactly how it works. Yeah, this is what is going on all the time. And the internet, because, you know, one, they're all scummy anyway. And I care if you watch it in porn or not, I don't care. But I guarantee who is watching you is some politician. You know, you check their records and you go, looky here, boy. We got you one of our top customers. You're in top 5%. You know what? We can work a deal. You know, and that's what happens. So I'm looking forward to hopefully we can just get off of anybody even having the ability to control it. Because think about it. If you want to get the money out of politics, you have to eliminate the power. Because money always follows power. The ring of power, it's got a whole big string of cash, you know, connected to it. And if you want to get the money and the corruption out of politics or out of government or anything, you got to get the power out. Because the only reason you have money that goes in there is because they have the power to bestow goodies upon you. You take that power away, the money goes away. I don't care how many laws you pass. You got the power, here comes the money.
You know, I want to take a second here and just send a shout-out down to Alabama, 91.1 WACA, The Truth. Those guys are broadcasting this show right now. You know, they don't have a license. They don't have the, you know, the FCC thing. They set up their own private tower, and they're shooting the signal, you know.
My favorite kind. You know, we are going to do a promo for you guys. Don't worry about it. What we did is we have a bunch of other affiliates. I'm so limited on time. We're trying to get all the other affiliates at one time. You got to get their catchphrases. You got to get how much is it, 10, is it 15 second, 20, 30 second, 1 minute, you know, blah, 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 blah. We're getting all that done. My producer, Sierra, is getting all that done ready now. You're definitely on the list. We got it all done. We'll do the promo. Gary told me about 2 weeks ago. I'm all over it, man. Don't you worry about it. We're going to get Alabama all taken care of. It's Alabama, right?
Alabama, oh, yeah. They got signs all on the streets, you know, 91.1 FM, The Truth, you know, and they're cutting deals with gas stations, and they're selling all kinds of e-cigarettes and all kinds of stuff, too.
That's 91.1 FM, The Truth.
WACA.
WACA.
We are Change Alabama.
Yeah, I'm going to do it right now if you'd be quiet. You know, this 91.1 WACA, right?
Mm-hmm.
91.1 WACA. It's Ernest Hancock. Declare your independence with me here in Alabama, The Truth.
All right, guys, you can just clip that out now.
Yeah, something like that. I'll come up with better stuff. I'll get you on, but that's good enough to get you going. Yeah, the Truth 91.1 WACA. Declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Except we got your mic open, so it kind of like echoes probably. So we'll get you taken care of. Don't worry about it. The problem is there's so many laws that regulate this kind of stuff. What happens is you get lost in a lot of the opportunities that are out there. Let me tell you the little thing that we used to do. And we have them. We just haven't done a lot. We did it a lot during the Levolution, during Ron Paul's campaign, because we learned how to do this before. And this was the idea. What if you had a campaign sign on a corner right out here, and it said 91.1, Ernest Hancock run for fill in the blank, okay? Then you had a house that was here close by that had a transmitter that had a feed off the internet. Then a mile down the road, you had another friend, another one, another one, another one. All of a sudden, you're covering an entire city.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did that in Tempe around ASU. We had a dorm room and this guy over here and a frat or whatever. And you have that, and it all feeds out one time. You got the whole city covered. And even one in a dorm room, in those high-rise dorm rooms, you could cover the entire campus.
Oh, yeah.
So we would order these kits, or like $200, you know, from China, you know, on eBay. You get FM transmitter, and it's legal in America to have, I think it's 3 watts or something, up to 3 watts in a certain distance. It's how you get these, you know, traffic signs, or how you pull up to a house and you tune in and it tells you about the house and all that kind of stuff. So a low watt, or you get a billboard, buy the new Cadillac or whatever, and they put a frequency as you're sitting in a stoplight. You tune that in, and it gives you a commercial. So this is, we're going, oh, this is good. So we go ahead and make these. Now, some of these guys are illegal, and they turn it up more power than they're supposed to. That's
ooh.
Yeah, that's bad. You know, like I care. But anyway, so as long as you stay away from other signals and don't cross state lines, our argument, there was a guy named William Dugan that we supported in the early 90s, in 92 to 94 around in there. He filed suit in San Francisco. They were doing it, Chicago and the projects. There's all these different people that were doing this stuff and challenging the man, because you don't have SEC jurisdiction if you're not crossing state lines or interfering with a licensed station. Well, they go, well, okay, I guess we're going to have to get a handle on this. We'll make rules for pirate radio that will be legal. That's where that came from. So I've been doing this for a long time. In fact, we had an initiative in 1994 that we did here in Arizona just to, you know, do a shot across their bow, say, you know, mess with us. We'll do this on a state level and just tell you get bent. So anyway, so I'm aware of this kind of technology. We have it out there, and we encourage this. Anybody in the audience, you go to eBay, and you order, just look for FM transmitter, and you get AM transmitters too and so on. But you get these, and you can take this live off the internet. You can take it from an archive. You can create your own media player, freaking cheapy. It's called Sam Broadcaster, your own radio station on the internet. Create the whole thing on your computer, broadcast it to your friends, put it in downtown whatever, in your little community of 5,000, and rip them up. We got friends doing it in Iowa, in Pennsylvania, Tennessee. It's going on everywhere. And there's not anything anybody can do about it except complain. But don't ever think that you're not going to have some connected politician that's going to be none too happy about it. I just warn you, you know, legal or not, doesn't make any difference. But those of you that are wishing, you know, willing to put your chest out and go up against the man, you know, you let me know if you come into any trouble. I'll make sure you get at least notoriety. And, Gary, it's been great having you this week, man. I'm so glad that you got to, you know, come by and spend some time with us.
Yeah, and those enchiladas your wife made? Mmm.
I know my daughter's boyfriend's mother, you know, did that. We've been screaming about it all the time. Finally, they made us some. My daughter did. Recipe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they are good. You know, and you got to meet a lot of the guys, too, man.
Oh, you know, I don't want to go home, but I got to.
A lot of new friends. You know, this is...
I'll be back, though, Freedom Summit, December.
Right on. That's right. Gary's going to be a speaker in the first weekend of December here at the Sheraton Resort. We have the Freedom Summit, and we have a lot of great speakers. Go check that out. FreedomSummit.com. And, you know, the one thing is you made a lot of new friends, and I'm glad we got to spend some time with you and share our experiences here and just hanging out. You got to hang out with us, Gary Franchi and Ernest Hancock.
Loving it. Thank you so much, Ernie.
That's been a pleasure. Tomorrow we're going to Canyon Lake so that we can get some really cool Arizona IA pictures for his next documentary. Thanks for spending time with us. We'll see you next week on the radio. Declare your independence. It's easy, and you don't even need a government form.